Hello, and thank you for choosing this Analyst Insight podcast from the Information Security Forum. My name is Mark Ward. I'm a senior research analyst at the ISF. And in this podcast, we are talking about two topics that we investigated and researched last year, produced the reports just before, in December, just before Christmas, an early Christmas present for many ISF members. Those two subjects were governance and measurement and metrics, which were kind of related, which drove a bit of our decision, some of our decision to look at those. I was lead author on the governance report, thoroughly enjoyed that experience, got to talk to some great members, uncovered some great practice. And Richard Absalom, one of the other researchers, handled the metrics and measurement report. Richard is here today. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me along. So two or three of these I've done now. I'm going to become an expert soon.
Yeah, we're all veterans here. Yeah, indeed. Perfect voice for it. Yeah. Also here to provide more commentary, very much expertise, thanks to their time in the front lines on information security practice. They've definitely done a lot of work on governance and measurement as well. Here are Paul Watts, who's a recovering CISO, who is now a distinguished analyst at the ISF. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Mark. Lovely to be here again. Recovering CISO, love that.
Definitely, I think you've recovered a long way. Yeah, definitely the ISF is a more benevolent place to work, I think, than the average CISO gig. Also here is Ivona Mukin, who is the CISO and DPO for Belgian multinational insurance company Ageas. Hello, Ivona.
Hi, Mark. Nice to be in this company.
Yeah, I think we've got a lot of experience here that hopefully will produce some good commentary, good chat shortly. So just to dive in then, like I say, governance, metrics, measurement were the focus for myself and Richard last year. We ran quite a few workshops on those, got to talk to lots of members to investigate those subjects. And Richard, both of those emerged from the Future Research Hub, which I guess is a guide to how urgent they are. They're sort of top of mind for a lot of practitioners out there. But was that a surprise to you? Because certainly measurement metrics was very popular at Congress. You know, you ran some sessions and it generated a lot of discussion. But was those topics a surprise at all?
No, I don't think so. In terms of, I'm going on 7 years at the ISF now. So I've been a veteran of a few different projects. And these are topics that keep coming up when we've been looking at other areas. So I remember, very vividly looking at security assurance and supply chain assurance, for instance, when talking to members, and people were always asking, okay, how do you govern this? How do you measure this? What's for assurance specifically, what was the link between governance and assurance? Around supply chain assurance, people just wanted to know, okay, how do you actually measure security, measure risk in relation to suppliers, or around assurance, measure the effectiveness of our controls? Whether this is a good idea or not from a personal point of view, I think it was me that put up the idea onto the Future Research Hub for the metrics paper in particular, and then I got landed with researching it as well, so it turned into an interesting one to do. We had a conversation at the beginning of that topic that was a potential poison chalice, because I think a lot of people have done it before and not done it particularly well, and we've attempted it a few times on the ISF, so it's kind of ongoing research. We can talk about that in a bit.
Yes, that's true. There's more to come on metrics measurement. Yeah, I think on governance, I suppose because I'm recently celebrated my third year at the ISF, but my background isn't in information security. But what I knew of governance, I thought it would be one of those things that was almost not quite settled, but people knew what governance was, knew what they had to do with it, and information security practice day to day was built on top of something that was established a long time ago. But that absolutely wasn't the case. It's very much a live subject. Paul, Ivona, does that make sense to you that, it's not surprising that governance isn't something that's settled and has changed? From your careers, have you seen it change a lot? Does it always require attention?
From my perspective, I'm already in the business for some time, and I see some shift. So as you are saying, governance is something very much living. And so we are talking about roles and responsibilities, and those are changing and shifting through the time. So when we look at early 90s, we were seeing that people responsible for information security were mainly sitting within IT organization, where now they are actually moving towards, I would say, risk or business, because it's being seen as more than IT security, cybersecurity topic.
Yeah, I certainly saw that during the research. Just talked to quite a lot of people who were trying to handle that shift from being part of IT into the larger organization. And I guess as well, I don't know, Paul, if you've got some thoughts on this, just in terms of, I guess the change in governance matches that ambition, that change of ambition, just what information security wants to be for an organization.
Yeah, I mean, if I go back through the years and I think about some of the challenges I've had socialising the topic with the board, back in the early days, very, very disinterested. It was a satellite of IT and technology, wasn't something that the boardroom wanted to be interested in. And then over the time, as technology has become more embedded and the topic's become more pertinent, it's got more mainstream media attention. We've kind of gone through phases. So they were a little bit distracted by it, then became quite inquisitive, then realised they were on the hook for it, became concerned, then became alarmed, and then wanted action. And as we've kind of gone through that journey, you know, the importance of governance of security and having those conversations at the boardroom has become more front and center, I think it's fair to say. But in the early days, it was very much a challenge to get them engaged in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, because I think certainly the one of the initial ways I tried to conceive of that governance journey was very much a, replicating some of the evolution that information security has gone through. You know, from that, initially it was information security was looking after itself, and only after it, got its basics right, would it start to reach out to the rest of the organization and start to, spread the word. But it brings some that brought some tensions with it, because obviously, as you engage, you're perhaps trying to tell people what to do rather than work with them. And then once you get beyond that, you start to learn yourself and start to engage more with the organization again, and start to realize that you have to work in line with what they're doing. And yeah, as it, and that's how it built. And certainly, the way we conceived it in the report is those five levels. The initial one, very much just firefighting. Day to day, living on the front line, just trying to get things done. And then the final one is it becomes business as usual, governance and the way you act. Those roles, responsibilities are understood, embedded, inculcated in people, and it becomes just the way the organization operates. And that's quite a rare place to get to, and it takes a lot of work. But I think it, as well, we're going to explore more of this next year. Paul, I think in terms of leadership, CISOs, and what the figurehead of this governance InfoSec program has to do to make it work.
We absolutely are, Mark, and I think the role of the CISO and the operating models of security in business are changing, and we need to have those conversations as a community. So I am very much looking forward to talking to members about that. Just going back to what you were saying earlier, if I think about my relationship with senior leaders in the context of security, I think we started in a place where security was done to the business. It's very transactional, very order taking. We were then kind of doing it for the business when there was this realization that it was important and that relationship started to soften and develop. And I think we're now moving into a place where successful security leadership is done with the business as a collaboration. And I think the governance journey and the governance evolution has kind of followed that twofold with as well, as we've moved forward. I don't know whether you saw that in the research, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was, we sampled broadly across the membership. I did a lot of interviews and we did have a lot of workshops. I'm very grateful for the insights I got. But yeah, I think there's a lot of people at different places, and the maturity and capability they develop. There are some tough lessons to learn on the way. Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes it doesn't work. And there were some, very difficult conversations I had with some members who are really struggling, because sometimes it's really hard. And I said, Ivona, I don't know if that's your experience, just that it's one of those things that demands a lot of energy and a lot of action from you. I don't know if you ever get tired doing governance, because it's always there and always needs attention.
Yeah, it asks a lot of effort, but I see also last 5 6 years some evolution, and actually I would have to say that the accountability which is put on the board members by some regulations, by some requirements, it's helping, because it creates a lot of awareness. And then, with this awareness, they are asking for help, because I'm positioning myself as advisory. So it's actually their responsibility, their accountability, and I'm there to help, which changes dynamics, because at the end, I'm proposing solutions. I'm saying, look, I would advise you to do that based on the risks that we are identifying, but it's up to you to decide. Do you want to accept this risk? Do you want to treat this risk? And then act accordingly. And that is helping because it's putting you in the different position, and it helps to advance things.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah, I think it's it does that regulation compliance side of things. Yeah, there's a big chunk of budget goes on that, so you have to. There's a lot of basic conversations to have. Well, why are we spending this money? What are we going to get? And I guess, Richard, on the metrics and measurement side, I don't know if you saw that, just in terms of is a lot of measurement metrics work done just on the compliance and regulatory side, and that's where the conversations start, or is it, you know, generally people have other reasons for doing that, those for taking on that work?
Yeah, I think it is often where it starts because it's a legal obligation. It's like, this is something you have to do. I think we were trying to get people to think about or move on from let's move on from thinking here what we have to do to what's actually gonna help the business, and you know, set the narrative, answer the questions that business people have. And I think that's where we start to see, I think, the good relationship between governance and measuring security, in the sense that governance should be about, you know, setting out what are the priorities, what does the business need to get from security, and then yeah, finding the right measurements to go and pick that out. There's only so much you can do in terms of measuring compliance. And yes, we're not saying don't do that. Absolutely. You know, that's it's a very good thing to be on the right side of the regulator. But it's not necessarily going to, you know, help you kind of be agile or really manage risk or help the business kind of make the right investments. So it's all about kind of understanding what are those questions that various stakeholders have.
Yeah, I think I'd see. Yeah, I think as well, it's understanding what questions I like to ask. And I think that's what struck me about governance as well. It does demand a great and deep understanding of your organization, how it works and what it wants to do. And I think InfoSec sometimes has stood back a bit and just said, well, we know what we're doing, and hasn't always engaged particularly well. But I think that is changing because, you know, part of the compliance and regulatory aspects drive some conversations. But also I think there's quite a few CISOs out there that are taking that on, doing that good work as well. Paul, I don't know if you see that as well.
Well, I completely agree. And I think this is what kind of ties it together. The last few years that I was a CISO, I found myself doing a lot more marketing and collaboration than I was fighting the fires. You know, you have to trust and empower your team to do that work so you can spend time as an ombudsman, as a collaborator. To the point that Richard was talking about, you know, again, completely agree. You have to inspect what you expect. But in order to do that, you have to set those expectations first. What does good look like? But you also need to use data and metrics to answer questions. It's wrong and remiss to just walk into a boardroom with an Excel spreadsheet full of data and start throwing metrics. So what? Who cares? The board will be immediately turned off. But if you ask them what questions they want answering, then you start to drive a conversation. And then that conversation can flourish because you then take it a step further and you use that data not only to answer the questions, but to drive insight. And that insight drives further questions and therefore engagement, and that continues the conversation. And that's the intersect between metrics and governance. And I think if you do them in isolation, you're absolutely missing a trick. And as security leaders, we need that data to drive insight, to answer questions, because we have boards and leadership teams that are now accountable. They recognize those accountabilities and they're curious, and they need that curiosity satisfied, which is the nature of boards across the world.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point, that insight, isn't it? It's not just about serving where you are now as well. It's sort of where you want to go. You know, what does it, you know, does this give you a direction? Does it tell you that you're doing things wrong? I mean, that's the point of it.
Can I use the cliche? Security is a journey, not a destination. There you go.
Like so many.
I've said it.
So many good things in life. So having set that context, then let's dive into, you know, some of the difficult, tricky situations that I came across during the research. So the first one was one organization I chatted to didn't have, I think they had one person doing governance who was part of the IT department, doing a very good job, doing all the right things, but just could not get any support from higher up, not even from their CISO. And even though they were doing the right things, you know, visiting people, measuring the right, getting the right information, knowing where they were, and, you know, have that strategy in place, and all those other good things that we recommend, they were just getting no support, and they were just felt like they were blocked. I don't know if there's any advice or how you would go about tackling that, or whether you just have to live with it and prepare your exit because you wonder if it's going to change.
Well, look, let me step in first. If one person is doing governance, you are not doing governance. One person doing governance is somebody ticking boxes, moving paper around a desk, probably satisfying regulatory compliance requirements and nothing more. That is an immediate red flag. What I'm really disappointed about in that example is, I think you said, forgive me if I got this slightly wrong, they couldn't even get the CISO engaged. What on earth was going wrong there?
Yeah, well, I think it was very much tick box, and in this example, the CISO was just saying, yeah, you just get on with it. No one else needs to worry about that. So I think they were just trying to rubber stamp it, because that CISO felt that their role was very different and didn't need to engage with the practitioners, which was just strange. So, but yeah, just to bring Ivona in here, tricky to put you in that spot, but yeah, is there a way around those kind of things? How do you get that higher up support to make sure that governance works and you can get some traction and get things moving?
Paul was saying you can't do this on your own, so you have to look for alliances to bring the message, and those can be different type of people. For instance, if this guy was at IT and not having, you know, possibility to push the message to the right direction, there is probably risk department or internal audit department within organization where you could try to collaborate and pass the message and seek their support to do so. Also, we were talking just now about matrix. For me, constructing the matrix which are meaningful is very important. Because, of course, you have organization where reporting evergreen is the culture. I'm saying, because I'm also having a role as non-executive director, I don't want to see only green indicators, because I don't have any message in that. I want to see some orange and even red, because then what triggers this, discussion and decision-making. Because if everything is green, if everything is fine, then as board member, you don't have to worry about it. And that's not the point. As also Paul was saying, the security is a journey. It's not a destination. So there's always something to do. There is always a risk. And you just have to see, okay, which risk are you going to put forward and where you are going to put your focus on? So, yeah, look for alliances and try to pass the message and try to make it transparent, so you would get attention of the people who needs to get this message.
I think Ivona makes a good point there, actually, because what you also see playing out is a bit of a political undercurrent. So I've been in situations before because of reporting lines, culture, yada yada yada, where I've been pulled to one side and said, you need to play with these thresholds, because I don't want you going into the boardroom and telling them that we've got yellows and reds. So I want to be displaying a sea of green. You're then in a potential conflict situation. So if we think as to how the role of the CISO has moved on to be trusted advisor, needing to act with a degree of independence, if you're sat behind a reporting line that's trying to manipulate the messages getting to board, you're undervaluing the power of the metrics and the story that they're trying to tell, and you don't have the right governance and the right operating model to support the transparent and open conversations the business needs in order to get better. So CISOs from time to time have to navigate that political environment, and that can really hold back how effective metrics and governance can be. And again, Mark, I'm sure you've probably come across numerous anecdotes of that during the research, and I'm sure, Richard, you probably saw it with metrics as well.
Yeah, it's only on the research side. Yeah, there was a lot of people who, CISOs or governance leads, who were very good negotiators, and you could read the room and knew where the alliances were, who had the power. And again, that was one of the recommendations we made in the report, just knowing how your organisation works from a operational point of view, but also a personnel point of view. Who has the ear of the CEO, CIO, etc. Get that work done and find out what levers you need to press or you can push to get things done, or just to get your information out there.
Mark, maybe the important thing also is to stay focused and not to try to do everything at the same time. So priorities and having this proportionality approach related to the risk your organization is running is very important. If you can put it forward, then you can actually find this buy-in from your organization. And as one of my bosses is saying, I love this expression, progress above perfection. I think it's very important.
Yeah, I think that's a very good aspect of this, is that sometimes you're not, like as you said, Paul, as well, sometimes you're not going to give them the good news all the time. But why would you expect that? I think organizations are vital, dynamic entities. And yeah, I think it's, yeah, as long as you know you're progressing and doing work and it is having an effect, that's what you need to know, isn't it? Yeah, surely.
I mean, if you find yourself as a CISO being the nodding dog, telling everybody life is great when you know life is not great, that is a major red flag. How can you possibly be effective in role if you're not empowered to have transparent, open and honest conversations with your peers and your leaders? I mean,
there's a lot around speaking truth to power that was coming up with, you know, with the measuring security research in particular, I think. And, you know, Ivona made a really good point there about not trying to manage and measure everything. You know, to me, just a sea of green reporting should, especially if it's the first time you're measuring something, that should be a massive red flag in itself, right? It's like, why is everything green? We can't possibly be this good. And, you know, it's something that came up with our research was, yeah, the more you measure, the worse you look.
Yeah.
In that sense, but it doesn't mean your risk is getting worse. It just means you're getting better at measuring and uncovering, yeah, issues. And that's actually a good thing in the long term. But yeah, you've got to kind of really manage that message to the people that you're reporting, kind of bring them along with you. And yeah, absolutely. In terms of selecting the right measurements, there are so many things. There are literally, you know, we're looking at putting a tool together and it's going to be hopefully built on a kind of comprehensive database of types of measurement you can take. There's no way, unless you're fully automated everything, and even then, you're going to get too much information overload. You're going to be drowning in a sea of data. You really need to kind of select what are the questions what are you trying to present? What questions are you trying to answer? What narrative are you trying to tell? And select the measurements that make sense for that.
I think key to that as well is it has to be based on a foundational relationship. I see this a lot during risk transformation programs, especially if you're in organizations headed from a standing start. So when you start to, you know, bring some transparency to the inherent risk within an organization, over time that picture starts to degrade. Now that can lead to very difficult conversations with boards and leadership teams if they think that, you know, they're on a slippery slope to destruction. But the openness and transparency of those conversations can help settle them to say, actually, this is already the situation. What we're doing through effective governance and effective use of metrics and risk data is we're opening your eyes to what the inherent risk the organization has. At some point that will plateau, we will start to manage that down, and we'll then manage it in the long term to a steady state which balances risk with reward and appetite and all of those wonderful things that we know. But you can only have those conversations in a constructive way if you have a relationship in the first place. If you're just going into the board every 6 months and giving them a 30-minute update or a 15-minute update or a 5-minute update, as it usually is, you know, that's not an effective way of managing risk and security in an organisation. It just isn't, for those reasons.
No. And I think I'm just conscious of the time, but yeah, I think that's a good segue into the closing conversation about the value of all this governance and metrics, because it's, you know, it does commit information security functions to a lot of work, ongoing effort, but why bother? But like you say, Paul, if that's the point, that you can report on those risks and say, well, I'm not just telling you about these risks, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do about them and what's happening and how we're tackling them and how that helps. And I guess that's where you need to be. Ivona, I don't know if you've got to that point in your organization where people come to you and they know that you're going to give them good information, useful information about risks and how the organization can manage those?
Yeah, actually, we were able to embed information security and data privacy to our demand management process. So, you know, it's often the challenge for organizations when new initiatives are starting, then security and privacy is at the end of the chain. We are actually getting in front of it. So that's very important, but it cost us also a couple of years to put it in place, to convince the organization. And now they see it added value of that because, you know, they took our requirements from the beginning. They don't have to worry about the end of the process where we would say, stop, you cannot go further because it's not going to be, for instance, compliant. Those analysis is being done on in front of the process. And yeah, it helps a lot. But also for the matrix, when we are measuring things, we are trying to adjust also the message and the type of the metrics we are presenting depending on whom is being reported. Because of course, if you are talking about IT part, those are more geek persons and you can talk technical language to them. When you are presenting to the board, you have to put it a level higher because they are scared of technology, even you know, the vocabulary which is being used. So you have to translate it to their language, and their language is mostly risk. So, yeah. You know, they don't have to know the technical details behind. They have to know what is the bottom line and how it can affect organization. And preferably, if you could say how much it could cost, yeah, even and it's great. Yeah. But quantifying information security risk, that's still a challenge.
Yeah, I think that points up the sort of flexibility and difficulty of information security these days, that you have to be fluent in so many different business languages, really, and just you have to be, you know, ready to switch at a moment's notice to talk to different groups of people and recognize their different priorities. I guess, Paul, you know, was that tricky for you? Because I know you worked in some very different organizations.
It 100% was, and I think Ivona absolutely nailed it with that comment. You know, what a lot of security leaders, especially if they've been born from a technical background, flounder is they go into the boardroom with no sense of ability to translate. We all operate from a premise of assumed knowledge, so we think that we're bringing a conversation down to the fundamental basics, but we're still bewildering our audiences. And there's nothing worse than walking into the boardroom talking about EDR and AV and patching and blah, blah. The board just don't want to hear that. So take the time to know your audience and articulate in their terms, the language of risk, the language of business. That helps you hit that medium. And that gives the added value, right? Yeah, you know, you've got to take the time to translate. It's a skill that is sadly lacking, and we need to get better at that.
Yeah, I think that's another something else we're going to investigate this year is the BISO, the Business Information Security Officer, which seems to be evolving into a sort of very interesting nexus of all kinds of things. And a few of the people I talked to for the research had those people in orbit around the IT department, but regularly, you know, doing deep dives onto other parts of the business that were going through change programs. And I think that's an interesting place to be for an information security practitioner. So looking forward, I think that's a great place to stop the discussion. I think we've gone through most of the things that we wanted to. So thank you everybody for your contributions. Thanks for listening as well. You can find more podcasts on the ISF podcast channel or at securityforum.org. And also this Analyst Insight podcast is now available on pretty much any podcast platform out there. Please subscribe and bump up our numbers. And there's also plenty more about ISF research tools and guidance on the ISF website. Thank you again.